Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Story Studio. Oh yeah, here we go. Check it out now.
Welcome to the Story Studio, a podcast for an independent publishing company that explores the world of self-publishing, independent art, and the future of storytelling. My name is Luke Kondo OK, and I'm joined by my regular co-host, Mr. Adam
Wilcox!
Yay! I'll say that by No, it's I wanted you to join in. Yeah, I got it. I nailed it. It was easy.
Boom.
Although I lost confidence a little bit halfway through.
Yeah, no, I think after how many episodes has it been now?
34, 35 or something like that.
I feel like the intro should be nailed now. I feel like it should be deeply embedded within your soul.
It is. It's emblazoned on there. Yeah, man, what have you been up to? What have you been up to today?
Today, I've been at work. It's been glorious. But no, I've been cracking away at It's been a bit of a weird couple of weeks because I've been doing a lot of planning and I've been doing a lot of just behind the scenes stuff and not so much writing, which in a little bit makes me sad, but at the same time, some of the stuff that I'm getting involved in is quite exciting. So I've been working away at Cypher, which is the audio drama that I think I mentioned months and months and months ago, and finally got the wheels in motion and that's all starting. And we will have some news very, very soon on getting that going through Kickstarter to get it funded and getting that up as an actual show up on iTunes, which I'm very, very excited for. I sent over the first episode to you, didn't I, some time ago?
No, I don't think so.
Did I not?
No.
Well, I'll have to send it over to you at some point. But
how long have you had that for? How long have you been sitting on that nugget of gold for?
Oh, probably a good 6 months or so.
Wait, do you mean the script? The script.
I'm sure I have.
I thought for some reason, for a second, I was like, hang on, so you've only just cast it. I thought you actually had a finished pilot episode.
Oh, 100% polished. No. To be fair, I don't think we'll be too far off. We've had the first, the pilot part from the initial actors come through today, just their raw audio. So we're just waiting on Carl the Magician to put them together and do some magic. So we've got something tangible to show you guys on the Kickstarter itself. So I'm very, very excited about that moving forward and our having our first serial drama for Hawk and Cleaver. It's just gonna be exciting.
Yeah, first like sideways splintering off the other stories. I want to do, especially want to do. It'd be interesting to see how this goes. So I want to do more of it, and I want to get lots of this kind of thing going on because the other story is still our best thing. Like it's still our biggest audience reach. So there's still so much more we can do there, I think. And we are trying. Like, it's not like we're just sucking our thumbs. Like we are.
Yeah.
Well, you are at the minute. You're doing a lot of stuff in the background here.
Yeah, I mean, we all are. We're all sort of trying to up it each time with our stories. We're trying to keep it fresh. I'm forever in talks with Carl about things that we can do to kind of tweak things and make it better for the listener, for you guys. I think it's long overdue having something like this. And I think it'll be interesting to see how it is received by the other stories audience, because obviously we've got a big fan base that enjoy the stories that we do, even though they are self-contained. So having that option for people to really get their teeth stuck into a longer story, I just think it's quite exciting. And it's a nice challenge for me because it'll be the first serial thing that I've written to this length. And it does take a slightly different direction to the other stories, and that the other stories are obviously sort of overview narrated as opposed to really being involved in the drama. And what I really want this to be is like, if you close your eyes, you're actually in there with the action, you've got the sound effects, you're sort of living it through the characters. So yeah, all that moving forward.
Yeah, sounds good. It's nice, been nice to see there's been like an uptick in just conversation with the audience from the other stories, don't you think? Like I've seen on Facebook,
yeah,
in the group, more people are just talking about how they're listening to the episodes or asking like writing advice, or we're getting a lot more reviews on iTunes for some reason.
I'm not
too sure what's happening that's changed.
I literally have no idea. It just seems to be the last couple of weeks, but it's absolutely refreshing to see. Because it's not like it's like we've got a core group of people that get involved a lot, and if you listen to this, we love you guys. We've had quite a few people just drop into the Facebook group. I'm not sure how they might have found it or what they're doing there, because we don't like strangers, but it's nice to have them. I'm only kidding, we love having them there, but yeah, it's nice to have input from you guys, hearing your thoughts. I think the good thing about me, you, Matt and Ben are that we're always happy to just give advice, just to chat to people and just to generally be here, because at the end of the day, we produce entertainment for you guys. It's nice to hear it back.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, man. It'd be very interesting. So the Kickstarter, guys, this episode is going to be a bit of a catch up. There isn't a guest. There isn't a surprise. Me and Dan are just going to be chatting. It's been a while since we've done one of these episodes where we just sort of catch up with where we're at, what we're working on, and you know, relax a little bit. I've got a can of Iron Brew and half a bottle of water.
I have a steaming mug of Horlicks.
Horlicks? Really?
Horlicks. Oh, yeah.
It's been a while. It's been a while since I've had Horlicks. Years, even.
Yeah.
Were
you legal at the time?
I was legal. Is this, do they have it in America, do you think?
I honestly couldn't tell you.
I don't think they have Iron Brew. Have you ever been to Scotland?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Well, Iron Brew, like, it's, you know, it's not, it's big here in the sense that in pretty much every shop, there'll be like Coke, Diet Coke, Cherry Coke, whatever other types of Coke, Vanilla Coke, and then you'll have Iron Brew as well with the others. And then, but in Scotland, Iron Brew is the Coke. Like, everything is Iron Brew. Like, all the different bottle sizes and stuff, and different types of Iron Brew. And then you have, like, the one type of Coke. It's very strange.
Yeah. I came across a cheapo version of Iron Brew the other day called Actual Iron Brew, IronBrew. And I found it funny how normally if you have a product and people want to make a cheaper version, they turn it into a slang language and remove letters.
Yeah.
But I like how they kind of took the opposite approach and just made it proper.
Yeah, they always say there's a secret ingredient in Iron Brew that I've no idea what it is. I don't even know what flavour it is. Like rust. Sugared rust.
Yeah, it's kind of like Coke or tequila. You can't describe the taste of tequila.
No, you can't.
Fire.
I like tequila. Tequila is one of the spirits, especially like a tequila slammer. Each of those ingredients on their own, salt, lime or lemon, and the tequila itself, they're kind of very intense on their own. But when you sort of do them in a quick succession, it's actually quite nice. You get sweet and salty and a bit fiery. It's a nice little cocktail.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad. But yeah, going back to writing stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. How's Keith going? Tell us a bit about Keith.
So Keith was a short film I made 2 years ago. I don't know if I told the guys or not. About 2 years ago. And it did very well. Well, for me and for what I'd done before, this was like way better. So, it won awards. It's played all over the world. It's got me invited to, people have actually paid for me to fly out to places the one place, Germany, to go and screen it. But like that sort of thing doesn't really happen. And it's, so Keith did very, very well. And then I've been in a bit of a filmmaking kick this past sort of few months, and then decided, right, Keith, I made the short film. There's really no excuse why I shouldn't be making the feature film. It's the way the film's made means that I don't need a big budget, although money obviously helps. All I need is effort and time and the willingness to sort of actually see it through and get it made. And it'd be nice to sort of have a feature film made, even a zero budget one. Some of my favorite feature films are like Primer, that was made like $7,000, very, very little like film budget really. Well, it's the Evil Dead, the original Evil Dead, that was made on a shoestring budget. And I love these films because they're always calling cards for getting other films made. So I kind of figure if we get Keith made as a feature film, make it as good as I can get, make it, it will get us guys into the room when I can go in there and go, look, look, we've got the other stories here. We've got these novels, they've brought. You know what I mean? It'd be nice to sort of have that calling card. So that's what I've been working on mostly. I've actually got a few things I'm working on at the minute.
Yeah, you seem quite busy.
Yeah, but Keith is, at the minute I'm writing, I've made the first 5 minutes of like demo film. So this is like, in game design, you sort of have like the alpha and then you have the beta. And so I guess this is like the alpha. So it's wireframe designs. It's not colored in. It's just like a sketch. It's the vomit draft, as it were. So I've got the first 5 minutes of that. I've got the first 10 pages of the screenplay done, and I've got the full outline written. So the next step for me is to write the screenplay, and I want to get that done before November because NaNoWriMo is coming in November, and I want to be prose orientated for November. Yeah,
it feels like it's been a little bit of a while since I've got my teeth stuck into some proper prose.
Proper prose, yeah.
But do you what's your kind of time frame that you're working with on, Keith?
Well, so I want to do it in a year. I would like want to have like a finished version of the film done in a year to screen. Maybe do a screening in Manchester or even London. I don't know yet. But at the minute for this year, I want to have a finished screenplay. I want to have the first 10 minutes done. I've kind of cast the lead role. I'd only need to sort of sign on the dotted line for that and make sure. The guy who's I've got in mind is willing to do some of the stuff I want him to do. And
all right.
yeah, it's a porno. Yeah, that's what we're no. But yeah, so I want to have the first 10 minutes like done, and then I want to go into the next year and sort of have I'll have like 8 months to do all of the filming bits, and then I'll. And then edit, because it's the main thing of this film is just going to be editing, because it's so edit heavy. Like it's more of an animation in some ways. So I'm just going to be spending the rest of that time doing that. But I'm trying to see it as the way I write a novel is I do a vomit draft, and then I go over and do like a first draft, and then do another edit and do like the second draft, and then start getting beta readers in. I'm kind of trying to do it in the same process for this filmmaking, which is a little bit strange.
Yeah,
these are weird times.
It makes complete sense,
Yeah.
And how are you juggling that with some of the other stuff? Because I know that a lot of the listeners and even some of the commenters we've had on the Facebook group this week made a point about just juggling projects and time.
Mm.
So obviously you work a full-time job. I work a full-time job. What is it? How are you splitting your time at the minute to try and deal with this as well as what are the other things you're working on? You're also doing book 3 of the Rot series.
Yeah, They Ruin. Have we told that title before? They Ruin.
No, but I see no problem with it.
Yeah, so I'm working on They Ruin. It's the first draft of that. I'm 35,000 words in, and I think it's going to come to around. It's going to be a bit of a longer. It's going to be like 90,000 words, I think, this novel.
Okay.
El Marvo issue 2. Got to work on that. And I've also got. So this is all for the end of this year. I want to have the Keith screenplay, first 10 minutes of Keith. They Ruin, good to go. El Marvo issue 2, ready to start the crowdfunder. And also, because I'm falling behind a little bit on, like, I wanted to publish at least 6 books this year, I'm going to write a quick 10,000-word novella, which I've already started on.
Nice.
Just to get that out for Christmas, just to sort of up the sort of the publishing goals there. But, so at the minute, I'm just writing 1,000 words a day and also doing the Keith stuff. So the 1,000 words a day I can do before work. I'll try to anyway. I don't always make it. But it's not too difficult. It's difficult enough where it's like, there's conscious effort and I need to tick the box and get it done. But it's the kind of thing where you just kind of do it, get out of the way, and then you can move on, you go to work, and then after work you can do the other stuff. So I can.
And how much time do you allow yourself for that 1,000 words?
It takes about half an hour normally.
Oh, wow. You're a fast writer.
Well, I say half an hour. Sometimes I'll get to like 500 words and I'll just be really struggling. But then if I just spend another spend a pomodoro tomato on it in the evening, I'll be able to get it done. But
yeah,
So I've been running a lot as well, and so I did a 10K the other day, and
congrats.
Thank you. So about halfway through, I was thinking, I don't know if I'm going to have to do this. I hadn't eaten much that day. I wasn't really that prepared, to be honest. I just kind of thought, I'll start it and then we'll see how we get on. But about halfway through, I was really not feeling good. My cheek was numb for some reason. I don't know, my face started to go a bit numb. My legs were like killing me. And I just felt like really lightheaded. I was like, I don't know if I could do this. And then I just kind of said, turn my music off. And I just concentrated on my breathing, and I just like just look down at your feet and just keep moving, and I did that until the very end. Like, and I kind of feel like this is the same with writing, with like getting stuff done in the day. There's so many times you sit down and then you're worried about, I've got so much to do. Do you know what I mean? I've got so much further to go today. But if you just sort of sit down, set the timer, don't focus on the end of the road. Focus on what's right here, right now. I need to write a sentence, and then sort of push through one word at a time, and you will hit the targets.
I think I need to take some of that advice on board at the minute, because I had a promotion at work about 6 weeks ago, weeks ago.
Congratulations!
And just since then, thank you. but yeah, obviously with that comes an extra load of workload, an extra load of challenges.
Mm.
And since that promotion, I've been getting stuff done, but nowhere near as efficient as I had before. And I'm also, I've been kind of playing around with lifestyle choices and well-being, wellness stuff, just to try and get, because I know I was committing a lot of writing time in the morning. I was going to work, I was coming home and just spending time with my son, and then in the evenings not really doing a whole lot. And a lot of that itself wasn't, I wasn't giving myself time to sort of stop and just think and reflect. And at the same time, I wasn't really, I cycle to and from work, but for me, because that's now a regular fixture, I don't feel like that's helping my fitness as much as I want it to. So I've started taking up running and doing some of that stuff as well. But I'm still at that point where, because I'm throwing all these things in together, the days vary slightly. I'm trying to reach that equilibrium of what is the most effective time to get up, time to start writing, time to go out jogging, how far do I go for, and all these other things. Which is a bit of a learning curve, but I'm happy that I'm still getting things done. I just need to refine that a bit more and just
It's always a struggle. Like right now, I really like to get to the point. Like I've got this ideal day, this perfect ideal day in my mind.
Yeah.
And it never quite works out like how I want it to. Like for example, so ideally, I'd like to get up really early, take Alaska for like a quick half an hour walk, come back, sit down, drink my coffee, do my journaling, morning journaling, and then start doing a pomodoro of writing. But it never quite works out like that. Like I'll get up a little bit later and think, I can't take Alaska out for as long as a walk, so I'll do my writing now, and then she'll start barking and chaos quickly ensues, and then like and then you're like, oh my god, I'm 10 minutes late for work. It's always a struggle, and like you're kind of working towards that perfect day, but I don't know, I don't think it's ever going to be perfect. I think there's always going to be things. Spanners for, you know, I was just thinking about the big rocks and the little rocks, and that's something I've had to come back to. This is something we said at the start of the year, where
back in January.
And that's something I think I forgot at some point, or didn't forget, but kind of lost sight of how important it is, and I'm trying to get back to that.
Yeah, I think that's my thing. Is I got into a habit of doing a lot of, say, setting up Kickstarter stuff in the morning, or we just put together the, it's not out for release, or it's kind of out for release, I'm just going to say it anyway, but the full year's worth of the Other Stories collections, our first year collection is now out, available with print copy on Amazon. I've been putting stuff like that together, but I know that I've almost been excusing myself in the morning and doing that stuff, which mentally is easier to do because it requires less conscious thought to actually sit down and write a story.
Yeah.
And then almost like patting myself on the back for that, instead of sitting down in the morning and going, okay, write the words that are going to build up that catalogue behind you.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you say, it's an everyday sort of struggle, and no day's going to be the same. And I think there has to be enough flexibility in any routine that even if you only write 5-10 minutes and you wanted to do an hour, you need to recognise that you've done something. Because I still remember, like, I mean, it was probably only about a year ago that I wasn't in any kind of writing routine. No, it's just over a year ago, because obviously when it came down to doing The Rot and Lazarus and everything, that was when I really got my ass in the seat. But before that, it was similar. I'd slip in about 20 minutes of writing at lunchtime, and that would be it for the day. And I'm still finding about, I don't know, 2 hours of work done to each day, even if it's not entirely creating new fiction.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so many things that we're going to end up spending our time doing. It sounded like sort of piddling little bits of projects, and not really like getting any sort of full-on creative flow. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for that. Like, just end up updating my website and not actually doing anything to it. Nothing that's that important anyway.
No, that's it. I think, yeah, just trying to keep sight of that, because I need to re-identify my big projects I'm working on at the minute, and I'll call it out on this podcast just so people can hold me accountable if they choose to, which I think is a good way moving forward. But so my big things at the minute are Cypher, which I'm very excited, and I'm going to put up a Kickstarter on the 1st of November. That's going to happen. So from the 1st of November, you'll be able to pledge even just £1 towards making this show happen, and it'll run for 30 days. Then,
have you thought about, sorry to just jump in, we could put the first episode, the pilot episode, or like a teaser on the Other Stories feed on Halloween.
We could do.
And then as a Halloween episode, and then say, this is for the Kickstarter. You know, it's like a little bonus episode.
I think that would work very well. Because, yeah, I was thinking of putting it somewhere on that feed, even if it was a sample, or I think the whole thing, the first episode would definitely work. So, yeah, that could work. And then on top of that is keeping up with the Other Stories podcast. I want to up some of the production value on that and get more actors involved, because we've got a lot of narrators and actors behind that now. Obviously, They Ruin is chugging along with that, and I will grab you for 5-10 minutes after this podcast is, or we finish wrapping up this podcast, just because I've got a couple of ideas on some things with that, which I think you might like.
Cool.
And the third one, which I think I've alluded to, a project I'll be working on, but I haven't actually announced it yet, is that I am working on a brand new series with Michael Anderley and some of the other guys in the Catherian Gambit series, which is all very exciting. I'm putting in, at the minute, I'm just planning the books for that and just working with some of the guys to make the stories fantastic and putting that forward. So there's quite a lot of big things going on, but I know that I want to get Cypher running so we can just get cracking with that. Get They Ruin published and out there by the end of the year would be awesome.
Yeah.
Keep rolling with the other stories, and then obviously get these series of books planned and get them out, because that's going to be quite an exciting one.
Yeah, lots of stuff to do.
Yes, and also work a brand new promotional job.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, so you think about that, this is like a massive mountain of work, but then you just got to look down at your feet. You just got to put one foot forward, and that's you've got to kind of enjoy that as well. I think just try and enjoy that process.
Yeah, I think that's the important part. I mean, the good thing about most of these is the only person putting deadlines on them are myself, or me and you for some of these books.
Yeah.
And I think self-imposed deadlines are great. I think they're really good at pushing you forward. But I think also to always remember to allow yourself that flexibility, because that's one of the benefits of doing stuff for yourself, is that you're not going to tear your hair out over something that ultimately you can move.
Would I be able to? A little bold.
Well, and you've ripped half your beard off now, so.
It's half out, yeah.
Yeah. So what else are you working on? Because you've got, so Keith, you've got They Ruin.
Yeah. I was going to try and NaNoWriMo in November. I think that's when I'm going to finally sort of sit down and finish this first draft. Because I think that's a good deadline. It's sort of a deadline. A good accountability system anyway. I always seem to do all right in NaNoWriMo. I always seem to get them done, and I don't know what it's about, but it seems to work for me. So I'm going to do it again, and this is a good opportunity for me to do that. Are you doing NaNoWriMo this year?
I'm going to put some stuff towards NaNoWriMo. Yeah. I'd like to put like a complete project. Obviously, I'll be running the Kickstarter then, but yeah. I might just make a bit of a smaller word count for myself. Like a 30k maybe.
Yeah.
Because I do also want to I want to write a short story. I've got an idea for a short story I do want to publish for Halloween.
Yeah.
Just out of my back. But yeah. Yeah, I think NaNoWriMo would be a good one.
So short stories, are you so I know you do obviously stories for the other stories, but how often are you writing short stories?
Not that often at the minute. Mostly just the ones for the other stories right now. Yeah. But like I say, I've got ideas brewing for ones that I want to do. Also, just while I remember,
yeah,
have you, because we can talk about this now, I think, have you got your, did you get an email through about the short story for the post-apocalyptic collection?
Yeah, so he's going to publish it in November or something, right? Does that sound right?
Yeah, yeah, just feeding the story back. Yeah, I just didn't know whether you got the email or not.
Yeah, so that's for, his name's, the editor's Gregory Alan Cook. And it's for a post-apocalyptic anthology that both me and Dan are involved in. That,
yes,
we're not really in charge of. It's very much this Gregory's project. But it's nice to be included. And it's called Chaos of Hard Clay. That was a short story I think I wrote for the other stories, and it was just far too long. And then I just started submitting it to various sort of publications after that.
Mm. Yeah, and we seem to both have just got lucky with the same collection, but we're excited to have that out on the shelf.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, man, I love short stories. I think I definitely prefer writing short stories to novels in some ways. I don't know, short stories for me are just incredibly fun to write, especially when they work.
It's instant gratification.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not that slaving away for months or weeks or however long it takes you to write a novel before you actually get to that satisfying part of saying the end. I mean, you can crack out a short story in an afternoon in a couple of days.
Yeah.
And you're golden, you've got something that you can present to people. So
I suppose you can always do weird, like, you know, the weirder stuff as well, I think. So with a novel, like, I suppose you could do like a very weird idea if you're doing like a bizarro novel or something, but it's very difficult to make that seem realistic. So, for example, I've got an idea for a short story. I had it when I was just taking last grand for a walk earlier. There used to be, when I was a kid, I used to live on a little cul-de-sac, and there were these garages, and there used to be like a little path, it's like a wedge behind the garages where you could walk through, crawl through these bushes, go, it's walking like walking to another world. And then you go, keep going, and eventually you'd come out on the neighboring estate, like it would like open up into that. And I was like, okay, so what if like some kids went into that and then the gap started to close whilst they were in there? And it's like,
oh, wow.
I was like, that's a weird story. And like, obviously, like, maybe like, a kid would get left behind and crushed or whatever. But like, you could never do that in a novel. Like, just to have them in a garage, like a wall that was closing for no reason. But because of a short story, like, you can just kind of do these absurd ideas. I don't know.
Moments.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because if it was a novel, it'd more likely be you'd have to expand on this entire story behind it and everything else. But you can allow yourself those snippets, those frames into the
sketches.
Story. That
Yeah.
I do think it's quite, short stories are quite a beautiful thing as well. It's just letting, I tend to find that with short stories, I'll more often than not pants them than I will a novel.
Yeah.
Just because I feel like short stories, you just naturally feel the rises and falls. It's a bit more of a selfish thing, I think, short stories. A bit more literary than the commercial novel.
Yeah, so what I tend to do is I'll write about 5 or 6 words that will be kind of like word association. So if it's like the At Sea story, I'll write Lilo. This is what I think I did write. Lilo, eyes, sunburn. Cornetto, like just like random words like that, and then that's all you kind of need then, because from there,
yeah,
like the images are already sort of poking into your mind, ready to go.
Yeah, I'm recycling a story idea that we originally had for when we were putting together Project Dan.
Yeah,
and turning that into a bit of a short story, so that'll be one to look forward to.
Yeah. So yeah, man. So what else? So, okay. So I guess we could talk about the Comic-Con.
Oh, yes. Tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, it's the day after tomorrow,
no,
but
Saturday. Yeah.
Are you going
that's
quite tomorrow then?
I am. I'll be going straight after work and seeing an old uni friend.
Okay, cool. I'll be arriving in Nottingham around 6 o'clock-ish as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll have to catch up after this and see where we are.
Yeah.
What's going on. But yeah, it should be good. Because this will be our second Comic-Con. And I think that we're already planning to do a fair few more during 2018. But I think Comic-Cons are just... I know we briefly touched on this before in previous episodes, but I just think they're fantastic. It's more of a social thing more than anything. It's nice to actually interact with people who might be interested in your stuff. It's good to see and talk to other creators. And I know that a few people that are going on Saturday are people who've had on the show, so it'll be nice to meet them in person. It's a good chance for us as Hawk and Cleaver to catch up because we barely ever get a chance to actually all see each other.
Yeah.
So it should just be a good day.
Yeah, so it looks like it's going to be quite big. The last Comic-Con we did with Lincoln, that's kind of like a smaller affair. I think this is going to be a fair bit bigger. There's a lot more independent presses, like small press comics companies, who are, you know, a similar sort of level to us are going to be there. So it's going to be interesting to see what other people are making and what they're doing and how they're selling. And we've got like a shit ton of books now. Like, we've got so much more stock and stuff to sell. We've got the El Marvo comic. We've got, like, extra print stuff. We've got the Other Stories book. We've got three novels between us. and then is it, I think there's three or four more on top of that to sell.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Yeah, it'd be really interesting.
Yeah, because I think last time we went in, we each just had a couple of novellas.
Yeah.
And then it was mostly just selling our personalities, but
yeah.
this time I think, yeah, I think to be fair, the Lincoln, because it was that smaller space, I was a lot more involved in just talking to people and trying to like sell a bit more, but I think I'm quite excited to just wander around the Comic-Con and see what other people are up to and just networking, really.
Yeah, and there's people who are going to be there exhibiting. There's like Mark Lamming, Jay Gunn, people who've got like you know, working for Valiant and have done work for Marvel. I think Mark Lamming actually did the Marvel comic adaptation of The Force Awakens fairly recently. So there's like people that are there that are kind of, you know, doing the big stuff. So it'd be interesting to see, maybe have a little chin wag with them.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And like I say, just seeing the guys as well. And it's not too far from where, it's not too far from where we all live as well. So it'll work. And we get to see Duncan.
Duncan Everson.
Yeah.
Oh no, Duncan Muggleton. Sorry, yeah. Duncan Muggleton. Yeah, he's one of our patrons and backers. He supported us from the get-go, really.
Just our all-round favourite person in the whole wide world. So, Duncan, if you're listening, we're coming for you.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be interesting. We'll have to do like a post-Comic-Con report as well, just to sort of let people know how it went.
Yeah, it'll be cool. Just for anyone, because I know that, I mean, I know some people listening, if they are interested in Comic-Cons, will be thinking that maybe it's the best way to go and sell stuff. I don't hold a lot of hope that we're going to sell loads of things tomorrow. We did okay last time. But mostly it is just about getting involved with other people, seeing that community, and just raising a bit of awareness of who you are. It'll just be interesting, because I know that at the Lincoln we had, was it one or two people come up to us and say that they listened to the show.
Yeah,
it'll be interesting to see if anyone at all comes tomorrow.
Yeah, I think they will. I think I know, especially because we've had previous guests that that are going to be there. There'll be people there. And I don't know. It's going to be interesting. It's always a little bit nerve-wracking, like, because we work so much like behind computers. It's going to be so interesting to see, get out there a little bit more and be out there breathing air. Do you know what I mean? and being able to talk to people about the books and try and work out the best ways to sort of pitch them to people. What are you going to say when people come to the table? You're manning the desk and someone says, what is it that you do? What are you going to say to them?
We are Hawk and Cleaver, a digital story studio that deals in every medium under the sun. We write horror and thriller and sci-fi fiction, and it's just perfect for any of your daytime requirements.
Nice. That's pretty good. Actually, yeah. That's a lot better than I can do. I'm going to say, I'm going to look at what I've got in their hand, like a book if they're holding, or if they've got like a t-shirt on, or if they've got cool hair, and I'll try and strike up a conversation about that. And I go, you seem like a horror person. Take a look at Deeper Than the Grave, a horror novel. I'll try and push them that way.
We did that last time. Was we would open up with, is it book? Is it film? Is it comic? And although we didn't have El Marvo then, I know we were doing a bit of advertising for it. But I think that's one of the cool things, is we have something for pretty much most entertainment mediums now.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. Yeah. I mean, just having the stacks of books there is going to be interesting to see, because I don't think any of it is a Comic-Con. So we're going to have one big stack of comics, and then the rest of the table is going to be packed with books. So I'd be interested to know how many people will be... They'll come to the comic and go, what's this over here? These are our books. Do you know what I mean? I wonder how many people are going to be actually interested against how many people just won't give a shit. They're like, I'm at a Comic-Con, and I don't want to read. I want some pretty pictures.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, when I went to London Comic Con, I'd go around the bookstores, but
was there a fair bit of books there?
I mean, there wasn't loads. There were about three or four stands, maybe, of a couple of authors pushing some stuff. But it's still nice to just talk to people and have those conversations.
Yeah. Plus, I don't think Comic Cons are particularly completely comic focused anymore. A lot of them are. It's like nerd culture, genre
it's culture.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, are you dressing up?
I'm going to be wearing clothes. I don't know about... I don't know. No.
I feel like that's a requirement.
No. I don't know. I'd like to wear a Hawk and Cleaver t-shirt, but we don't have any.
We'll get some.
We will, yeah.
Yeah, I think that'd be cool.
No, I'm going to wear... I'm just going to wear what I wear every day. Just my normal trousers and t-shirt combination. And a winning smile.
Oh, that winning smile from Luke Condor.
Yeah.
Knock your boots right off. So coming back to a bit more about productive writing stuff for people that might be listening.
Okay.
I've got a question for you.
Yeah.
What in the last few weeks maybe or months have you been reading or listening to or finding is helping you with your inspiration, motivation, and productivity? What are the things at the minute that are keeping that fire fueled for your writing and everything else that you're doing?
Very interesting. I think in terms of reading, the thing that really inspires me the most, I think John L. Monk said this, when he reads good writing, like good fiction writing, it kind of inspires him to go and start writing himself. And I think I've been reading a shit ton of fiction this year. And I think that for me, when I read some decent writing, it really does inspire me. It's kind of reminds me of why I love prose in the first place, why I love fiction in the first place. And it makes me kind of think, I want to do that. I want to go. I want to get some of that. At the minute, I'm reading a book called, funnily enough, The Ruins. Not They Ruin, The Ruins. But it's fucking amazing. It's so good. It's incredibly dark. So they made a film of it, but the film, I don't think was... It might be good. I've not seen it, but not many people are rating it too highly. But the book is about these backpackers in Mexico. One of their foreign friends' brother's gone missing, and they go to these ruins to try and find him. And then when they get there, there's I don't want to spoil it for anyone, but there's these vines, this plant that sort of gets into them and Oh, it's really terrifying. But there's no chapter breaks in the writing. It's like really taut prose. It's not particularly decorative or anything, but it just pulls you through. You just can't stop reading it. I think I've read about 400 pages in the last. I said I was a slow reader last year, but I've read 400 pages in the last 3 days, which is, I think, it's fairly quick. Yeah, just because the way they're writing it, and I was reading that, and I've been really looking forward to my writing. Every single morning, I read some of that, and I go, I can't wait to start writing. Yeah, so just reading good prose it works wonders.
I think that's what I need to start doing, because I tend to wake up and go straight into my writing. But if I fuel myself a little bit first,
yeah,
that might. But what about listening and non-fiction stuff?
Non-fiction.
Do you listen to a lot of podcasts?
Yeah, non-fiction. I listened to the audiobook for The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck by Mark Manson, which was really good. It's kind of like an anti self-help book. So he talks about how like positive thinking just makes you accept bad things around you. Like a lot of negative thoughts when you're sad, it's there for a reason. It's a change agent to make you sort of get up and do something. And that was really great. That was actually like one of the best self-help type things I've read in a while. Listened to in a while. Podcasts, I've been listening to Shockwaves, which is Blumhouse.com's horror movie podcast. I really like that. This Is Horror, that's where they interview horror authors. That's quite fun. Self-publishing podcast still. Uh-huh. And that's about it really for podcasts. Tim Ferriss show I listen to a lot. Just had Richard Branson on. That was quite an interesting interview.
Yeah, I actually listened to that one yesterday.
Did you? Okay, that's cool.
Yeah. You couldn't not when it was like Tim Ferriss interviewing Sir Richard Branson.
Yeah, I really like Richard Branson. I read his biography, Losing My Virginity, years ago. And I think that's one of the books that kind of made me want to start dabbling in,
entrepreneurship.
Yeah. Maybe not like to the point of like wanting to start an airline. Maybe not that. No, that big. But like to the point where it's like, just, you know, stick your neck out a bit and start trying stuff out. And that's at least more fun than just sort of accepting your day job and just never daring to do anything. I mean, for me, I listened to that interview and I think, how can I implement that entrepreneurial spirit into my writing and my creativity? And I think about like, okay, so how can I make a... How can I do what Richard Branson did for airlines, but for filmmaking, with like Keith? I kind of feel like I can do something different that's never been done before there, or in podcasts and audio dramas and stuff. And I feel like Richard Branson is a really great example of the kind of person who will just look for interesting avenues. And they may not all work. In fact, the majority of them don't work. But like, if you keep like stumbling forward, you'll eventually find something that does work. And like for us, the other stories, we never planned for the podcast to be so successful, but we stumbled upon it and it's working really well. So I really enjoyed that podcast. I listened to that today, actually. It was really great. What about you?
Yeah. Fiction, I need to get back onto reading something, because at the minute I'm dabbling a lot with non-fiction stuff for decluttering your mind and just kind of putting yourself in zen, because I have to wear so many hats during the day. I'll wake up, I'll put on my writer's hat, I'll go on to work, I'll put my work hat on, I'll come home, I'll put on my father hat, in the evening I'll put on my partner hat. Because I'm swapping into so many different modes all the time, I'm trying to just make sure that I allow myself time to stop and reflect as well, so that I don't kind of go nuts and it's very easy to kind of become overwhelmed. I've found that I've tried, but I've never really got it consistently. For me, it feels like just another thing to add to the to-do list. But I do feel like in some ways it could be helpful, but also I've just not found a medium that works with me, because I don't really want to handwrite.
Yeah.
And at the minute my laptop's broken, so in terms of I'd have to physically go to my study. This is why I sound so shit. I'd have to physically go to my study, and you know, it's finding a regular fiction in the day to do that. But yeah, I mean, I'm open to stuff like that. I've just not really kind of gone into it. So at the minute I'm reading a book called Declutter Your Mind, which is all about just sort of prioritizing. Again, it comes back to that kind of rock principle.
Yeah.
And what's the other one I've recently read? It escaped me, which is awful. No, it's completely gone out of my head. Which is ironic.
What about podcasts? Your mind is too decluttered.
It is. So I'm kind of binging on Tim Ferriss at the minute. I'm absolutely loving some of the stuff he does. And I'm very much looking forward to his book coming out, which I think is in a few weeks, Tribe of Mentors.
Yeah, okay.
Because I feel like, have you heard about that one in some of his previous episodes?
No, I thought the last one was, Tool of the Titans was the last one I knew about. Meaning to get. But I kind of feel like I listened to many of the episodes, and a lot of that one is just like the text version of those interviews, I think.
Yeah, well, this one is, it says here, it's released on the 21st of November, and it's basically, he's got over 100 super famous, clever, amazing experts to share secrets of success, happiness, meaning, and more. But he's made a point on the podcast of saying it's all stuff that's never been said before on the podcast. It's all different people's beliefs.
Yeah.
It's got like Tony Hawk in there, Dustin Moskovitz. It's got Serena Williams. It's got, who else have we got? Ben Stiller's in there, Drew Houston, which is a Dropbox co-founder. Just loads of people. So I've really gotten into just picking up that stuff and just seeing how other people do it. Because I like hearing the real stories behind people's success from the people who's had the success.
Yeah. You know, one book that I would totally recommend as audiobook or as the physical book is Arnold Schwarzenegger's autobiography, Total Recall. Yeah. It's the most insanely inspiring book, because a lot of people don't realize like how, like the kind of place Arnold came from, like the kind of the training regime he used to do. And he sort of made himself this sort of the world champion bodybuilder when it wasn't really a thing. And he moved to America, leveraged that to sort of move himself to America. And he wasn't making any particularly decent money, but a lot of people don't realize that he was a millionaire through making businesses well before he was a film star. Like,
yeah,
he didn't make his money from films, although I'm sure that sort of helped later on. But like, he was one of those kind of people who, he is a machine. Like, the way he sort of like sets down like a target of what he wants, and like nothing gets in his way. Like it's so inspiring. It just kind of makes you feel like, I wish I was that sure-minded. Like, if I could, because he said when he makes a decision, it's like changing the steering directions controls of like the Titanic. Like it takes a slow time to sort of find, you know, the course and course correct. But once he's got the where he's going in the direction in. Like nothing's gonna move. Well, the Titanic's not the best example. Like a big boat, but nothing's gonna stop the Titanic. It's too big. It's unsinkable. It's unsinkable. Yeah. It's just gonna keep going.
Yeah.
Apart from that iceberg thing. Yeah, but you know what I mean.
Just stuff like that. I mean, I'm really interested in sort of non-fiction stuff, but I want to. I want to read more fiction at the minute, but the problem I'm finding is I really enjoy reading fiction in paperbacks, but it's so much cheaper to do it by Kindle. But then Kindle doesn't grip me as much as a paperback does.
No, I know what you mean. I've gone completely paperback, and this, like 2 years ago, I was completely ebook.
Yeah, something weird about it. It's just nice to have like the pages in your hand and to do that. And then outside of those, my only other really favourite podcast I listen to at the minute is The Pedal to the Metal with Jay Thorne and Rachel Herron.
Yeah.
Still listen to that every week. It's just refreshing. It's a nice little palate cleanser every Wednesday, 20-minute episode from two very, very different authors about just author life and the stuff they're getting up to.
Yeah. Yeah. Jay's a good guy as well. I don't know Rachel. In fact, I think I want to sign up to her mailing list so I get like creativity essays every now and again. But I don't really read them. I get a lot of newsletters that I don't really read. I've signed up to a load to sort of get an idea of what kind of thing people do in
email
marketing.
I did exactly the same.
Now I've just got so many, I'm just like, I don't have time.
People's so different as well.
Yeah.
There doesn't seem to be like a standard. There's somewhere it's lots of images, it's all very pretty, and there's some which is literally just block text, but then the people have thousands of people on their mailing list. So I'm not really sure what that says.
Where does it? And like in the comic book world, in terms of like independent comic books, it's all about the newsletter. I think Warren Ellis set the standard for this, where it's like a weekly newsletter. And I've kind of taken this aboard and not quite the same extent, but where it's like a weekly update of stuff you found, so you've been listening to and that kind of thing. And now I've signed up to a few other independent comic creators' versions of that newsletter. And I quite like that, because it's like a little... I really look forward to those emails, more so than the marketing emails from authors that I get. So the author ones I get tend to be either like a free book or like, you won't believe this. Do you know, it's like trying to get me to read. Feel that their fingers like reaching out of my mail application, trying to pull me toward, open me. But like, like a newsletter, like Warren Ellis's newsletter, Ryan K. Lindsay's, John Lee's, all these comic creators. It gave me like a nice little weekly insight into their life. And I just like to see what they're reading, what they're thinking, what they're working on. I just found it really interesting.
Yeah, I think that's something that has been on my list to do for ages, is to actually get into the habit of doing something similar weekly. Because I think, I completely agree. I think it's a good way to show the person beyond the stuff that you're trying to peddling. And if people like you as a person, they're more than likely just to invest in your stuff because they want to support you.
Yeah, definitely.
And actually, there's like a lyric from just a song that I'm really, really fond of, which I didn't really understand when I first heard it, but I completely get it now. The lyric is, "The best kind of marketing is marketing that doesn't feel like marketing."
Yeah, totally.
And it's just like, you don't ever want to feel like you're being targeted and stuff like that. If it's just a bullet email that goes out once a week, where it's just like, "Hi guys, these are things that I'm finding interesting," and then people can decide whether or not that's interesting for them. And I know that whether you're an aspiring creator to the same thing that you've signed up to, or whether you're just interested in the process, you get a nice insight into people's minds beyond simply, "Here is a book."
Yeah. Also, it's nice. It's a nice practice as a creative person. There was a name for the type of journal that they used to have in the olden days, in terms of colleges, and I think it's like in Rome and stuff, where they used to have like a weekly public journal, and it's like a public update, and it's like they're putting their research out there, testing out ideas, and this is essentially what the newsletter is, because it's like you're talking about what you've watched, what you've seen, what you've taken note of, what you've been reading, and sort of digesting it to the point where you're actually having to put a bit of thought into it. So if you watch the film and you want to quickly talk about it in your newsletter, you have to think, what is it that I like about this? What didn't work? And a lot of times, like, you're kind of consuming stuff. So you're consuming TV shows, binging and that kind of thing. But it's kind of just going straight in and straight out. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're not really thinking about it that much. You're not really digesting it. And having a newsletter kind of forces you to do that a bit more.
Yeah, I think it's a good practice to get into. I also feel like we should definitely do an episode on newsletters one day.
Yeah, definitely. We've not done that. But yeah, I mean, obviously there's the two types of newsletter and the sort of more like the sales letter, I guess you'd call it a bit more. I'd like to get better at the sales type of letter. I don't know. I find it difficult to write those.
Yeah, I think we kind of just take that almost light-hearted approach that's quite cheeky and jokey, which I think fits into the style of what people expect from us anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't feel like... I mean, what is it you feel is missing? Is it...
Because
I feel like they're quite effective at the minute, but obviously things can always be improved.
I mean, I don't think it's like a ritual, like... I don't know. I kind of feel like with the newsletter, it's like once a week, just write one once a week. You know what I mean? It's this habit, this ritual of doing it. But with the sales newsletter, I kind of feel like there's no plan. Like, it's just, I don't know. It just feels more like it's there's no sort of schedule. It seems a little bit off the cuff, a little bit improvised, and as and when we need it. But maybe that's how it should be. I don't really know. But it'd be nice to talk to somebody who knows a bit more about that kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. We'll see who we can find.
Yeah.
Cool.
Come on, so we are starting to come on to the hour. We've pretty much been chatting the shit. It's been quite fun. Shooting the shit, chatting the shit, whatever else you do to the shit. We've done it. We've done it in this hour. Leave that shit alone. Okay. But have you got a big whoop for us? We didn't do it at the start of the episode.
Oh, I felt like I had one and now I don't have one. Have you got one?
Well, I was going to say The Ruins book, which I've been reading because it is really great. But I would say The Good Place on Netflix. The first two seasons are up, or at least season one and a bit of season two. This show, it didn't look like my kind of thing. I had no interest in watching it at all. It's got Kristen Bell, Ted Danson. Kristen Bell's died. She's in The Good Place, which is like the heaven. But then at some point she finds out that she's not who they think she is. She was a bad person. Not particularly evil, but like just not a good person. And she doesn't really deserve to be there. And it's all about like her trying to keep the secret and also try and become a better person to sort of fit into the good place. But then it's full of twists and turns. And it's Kat put it on. And then she said, I think you might actually like this. And she put like one episode on. And I was like, this is really good. I found out that the show runner is the same guy who did Parks and Recreation, which is a show I love, and Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which is another show I love. It's the same guy, and he's done Three for Free. All three of these shows are so good. And The Good Place, it's on Netflix. I'd definitely recommend it. It's really good.
I have to check it out, definitely, yeah. I wasn't a huge fan of Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
I think Brooklyn Nine-Nine's a weird one as well, because the first season, I wasn't completely into it. And then the second season, I don't know what happened. It just got so funny. It's almost like they sort of found the characters a bit more, found the voice of the characters.
It's Andy Samberg, right?
Andy Samberg.
Because I love him in The Lonely Island. Yeah. But for some reason, I just found his character really, really over the top annoying.
Yeah. I don't know. It's definitely worth at least trying some of the second season episodes, because the jokes are just so funny. Yeah.
That's cool. Okay, so my big whoop is going to be something a bit more. I think mine's quite dull, but it's something that's definitely helping me this week. Actually, the last couple of weeks. So I've played around with loads of different ways to try and keep organised with cleaner stuff, with work stuff, with different things. And I've really, really started to invest time in using Asana to try and make things easier to manage and just stay on top of the different things I need to do. And I feel like the last week or so, I've managed to just about crack something that's working for me.
You've nailed it.
Just the different styles of how you can set up boards and manage projects and stuff, but using it at work, using it at home, and it's really, really malleable. It does a lot that the other sort of productivity suites do, but does it all within one, and I'm finding new little secrets about it every day, which is always kind of beneficial. So that could be my big work.
Cool. I will just quickly add another whoop, if that's okay. Channel Zero. I think we might have talked about the first season.
Yes.
But the second season is out. The first episode is free on YouTube. This show is it's the only show that's really creeped me out twice. Like, to the point where I'm like unnerved, to the point where I'm struggling to sleep a little bit because I just can't get this sort of this imagery or these sounds sort of out of my mind, or these scenes. Like, there's a couple, it's just a really scary, like, it's so much better than American Horror Story. I think American Horror Story was kind of written in Boggle. Like, whoever wrote that, wrote this sort of, the story structures for those, just they kind of go all over the place, whereas Channel Zero is a really focused story. You care about the characters, there's character arcs, and the scary bits are so terrifying, like, genuinely terrifying. So I recommend that for people as well.
Sweet, you have to check that out.
Okay, so thanks to the listeners for listening. I haven't got my notes, my little scripts here in front of me. Thanks to Disaster Piece for the intro and outro music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to our we don't have a guest. Thanks to our patrons over at patreon.com/HawkandCleaver. Thanks to our audience. I don't know if you realize this, Dan, but both Alaska and Oscar have been my cat and my dog have been sat here. Oscar's been trying to kind of batting at the microphone, has been trying to use it. He tried to press the off button of the Mac midway through. So if there's a lull there, it's because I was trying to save the recording. So thanks to those guys, but thanks most of all to my co-host Dan for being a lovely person.
And thank you, Luke, for all that you do in life.
Thank you. See ya.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Story Studio podcast. Still hungering for some podcast goodness? Then why not check out our other show, The Other Stories? Oh, and did you know, every time you leave us a review in the iTunes store, a puppy is born. Cute, eh? Anyway, toodle pip.